Oh, that's right. We are right here at WCRS, just coming off of a big weekend of the Blues Cruise. Goodness, I had such a great time all weekend long, even Sunday over there at the Inn on the Square. I am pooping, I'll just admit it, but we had a great time. We've got a lot more pictures and videos and audio to post, so make sure you're checking our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, or just put me in Anne with an E-L-L-E-R. But today we're switching gears and we're talking about education. That's right. It's about time. School's going to start before you know it. We've been having some instant admission days at Piedmont Tech. We have students at Piedmont Tech. And today we have Jennifer Lopez. She is currently the department head of the humanities and co-chair. Get ready, folks, for the Work Ethics Skills West Committee at Piedmont Technical College. What are we talking about? We're talking about those soft skills that make you employable and oh so valuable to a company. So, Jennifer, how you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks, Anne.
Absolutely. Now, I understand somebody goes Lopez, humanities, Spanish. You have a husband that teaches at Lander, right?
That's correct. He's a Spanish professor as well at Lander.
Okay. He's got his doctorate and you're working on yours,
That's
right?
That's correct. Soon to be two doctors in the household.
Two doctors.
Not to be outdone by my husband.
So in Greenwood, you can't get around it. If it's Spanish, it's probably Lopez that's going to be teaching.
That's right, Anne.
That's pretty neat. Now, let's see. Your husband is from Portugal.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've got to ask, where did you meet?
We met at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
At Chapel Hill?
Mm-hmm. In the foreign language department.
Oh, okay. All right. So he was a foreign student coming here? Or
He was. He got a visa to come over and study to do his master's and his doctorate, and at the same time teach Portuguese, actually, to the undergrad students.
And find a wife.
And find a wife, apparently.
That's a good deal.
That was a good deal. That
trifecta.
Was the best part.
All right. So what made you decide to go into Spanish?
Oh, I fell in love with the language and the culture at a very young age.
Fifth
grade is when it happened. My family was living in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the Children's Museum had a new exhibit. It was on Latin America, and my mother took my brother and I to go check it out. And as soon as we walked through that exhibit, I just knew. I just knew I wanted to be in those countries and speak that language and get to know more about the culture. So warm and inviting.
Yes, and it was a couple of years ago, I think, I met you at Piedmont Tech during an open house, mm-hmm. and you had one of those colorful outfits on.
I did. A traditional dress from Mexico. I had studied some in Mexico as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you started very young, though. Fifth grade, sixth grade, you started taking Spanish.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. As exploratory, half a year of Spanish, half a year of French. Decided I wasn't so good at French. Go figure. and then began my career in Spanish. So.
And you studied down there. You studied where? Where did you tell? You were telling me where you studied.
I studied in Mexico, in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. It's in the central part of Mexico, like right in the heart of Mexico. And I also studied in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you had quite an experience. And you were telling me also you did an ambassador program and studied in Europe, right?
I did. When I was in sixth or seventh grade, I was nominated to do people-to-people student ambassador program that let me study in six different European countries. So
how was it to be over there and be in the sixth grade? And how did your parents feel about this?
Oh, I thought it was great. My parents were a little nervous, to say the least.
Right.
And then when I came back from there and was ready to go to Mexico, and then when I got back from Mexico and ready to go to Argentina, my dad really questioned if I even liked to be in the United States anymore.
You know, though, I've got to ask you, you know, that was, well, how many years ago?
Many, many moons ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty many years ago.
It was.
And what my point was, how would you feel about your daughters going out in the world today?
My mom worries about that all the time because that's an experience that my husband and I, of course, him coming over to the United States to do his degrees, we're all about study abroad and going abroad to learn and learn, meet new people, learn about new cultures. And we actually, it's a different world. It's more scary, I think, nowadays. But that doesn't take away from the value of traveling.
Oh, sure.
And learning from traveling and meeting new people and seeing the world from different perspectives. And I think as long as you go with your head on straight, mm-hmm. you know, and you take precautions, overall, it's going to be a good experience. So we both feel it's important, and we encourage our daughters to travel. And they have already talked about traveling to Portugal on their own.
Wow.
Of course, we have family over there, but, you know, so it's not exactly the same. But they're ready to start taking the trip on their own to visit family. And we think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's just a different world. You know, when I was growing up and going to college, I was out there hitching with my thumb, going everywhere and thinking, and not even thinking about it. And today, I don't think you'd think about it the same.
No, I don't think you would. And that's what I mean. Like, I think I went over for my first trip at such a young age, very naive. probably very, very naive and didn't even think about anything that could possibly happen to me, you know. Now I would encourage my daughters to go with a lot more awareness and a lot more education, just about what to avoid and when to notice red flags and, you know.
Sure, all the things that we didn't even think about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It certainly is different. Now, you have two daughters, mm-hmm. and your husband is Portuguese. You're very fluent in Spanish and, I guess, Portuguese, too. But my question is, what do you speak in your home?
We speak both English and Portuguese, and a lot of times it comes out a mix, so I guess it's like Portuguese-ish.
Okay.
but both. We do a bit of both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's see, you were telling me your daughter took Spanish over at Cambridge.
That's correct. Yeah. She just took her first year of Spanish at Cambridge Academy and did really well. The Portuguese seemed to help quite a bit. They're very similar, the languages, and so she could understand. Her reading comprehension and her listening comprehension is fabulous, but every time she opened her mouth, Portuguese came out.
So she's got to work on that, but she probably can get a little help with that, can't she, Jennifer?
She sure. I think she knows two Spanish professors that might be able to help her out.
All right. So you teach what? You teach Spanish at Piedmont Tech.
That's correct.
Do you teach anything else or just Spanish?
Just Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I'm the department chair for the humanities. So that and teaching and being the co-chair of Work Ethic Skills keeps me pretty busy.
Absolutely. Now, tell me, how did this come together to this Work Ethic Skills? I think it's fabulous being an employer and knowing how hard it is in today's world to find we're going to classify them as millennials, mm-hmm. that are so technology-oriented, they don't seem to think that they need these other skills. How did Piedmont Tech come up with the idea that they would do a program like this?
Well, it actually kind of came about from a converging of ideas from two different directions. When I was hired in Piedmont Tech in 2013, I entered the new faculty class. All new faculty have to attend the new faculty class at Piedmont Technical College. And at the end of the class, which is a year long, we are charged with a problem, problem-based learning, and we are to go out in groups and solve the problem. And my year, when I was hired, the problem that we were tasked with was to find out what was needed, the most necessary skills for the 21st century college graduate, mm-hmm. Which I found to be soft skills. And unbeknownst to me, the college was doing at the exact same time a DACUM, which is basically a development of a curriculum that is it's a development of a curriculum based on feedback from the community. So after working with local employers, community members, local industry and things like that, Piedmont Tech came up with basically new objectives or additional objectives that we need to be incorporating into our curriculum, which happened to be soft skills. Right. So since that datum came about and my presentation was on soft skills, here I am.
So because of that, you ended up as the co-chair of this program.
That's correct.
So how long have they actually, is this program active at Piedmont Tech?
It is not completely active. We've been rolling it out in phases, starting with some pilots, just kind of determining how we want it to go about integrating work ethic skills, which, by the way, we call work ethic skills instead of soft skills. We actually found that our millennials, when you started mentioning soft skills, they didn't know what
they
those were.
Out.
They tuned out, and then they thought, well, if they're so soft, we probably don't need them anyway. So we've changed the name to work ethic skills, and as we were trying to determine how to implement these skills into our curriculum, we decided to do some pilot programs and roll it out little by little. So starting in 2017, we rolled it out in our mechatronics program. And then, well, that was 2016, 2017. And then 2017, 2018, we rolled it into more of our industrial programs. And we started to include it in HVAC, which is heating and ventilation and cooling, automotive, and welding. And this year, we're going to start rolling it into our nursing program and our health science programs.
I think it'd be very important in the nursing and health science. But now when we talk about work ethic skills, what aspects of work ethic skills, soft skills are we talking about?
Well, that's a good question, because there's really two levels of soft skills, and both are very, very important. The DACOM revealed that the emergency, the urgent need right now is for the first levels of skills, which are the basic soft skills that include attendance, time management, communication, professionalism.
Being on time, coming
to work and being on time are the two biggies. In fact, most employers rank attendance as the number one soft skill, employability skill that they're looking for. Everything else kind of falls underneath that, right? If you don't come to work, doesn't matter how good of a job you do, you're not there. So
I don't need to be there. I'm the best person you have there. So when I show up, you'll just be glad I'm there, right?
And that's what we have to talk about with them, is you could be really, really good at what you do. You can have the technical skills. You can have the knowledge. But that isn't what determines your success in the workforce. In fact, a lot of research says like between 65 and 70% of your success in the workforce is based on your soft skills, not on your hard skills.
That should be a very hard thing to translate to the today's generation. Let's just say that, the today's generation.
It is. It really, really is. Because like you said, they don't seem to... sometimes there's a feeling that there's not a need. If I'm good at what I do and I come and I get the job done, it doesn't matter when I come or how I get it done. I got it done and I did it well. And so when we embed these into our curriculum, we're not just embedding these skills in and saying, you know, it's important that you come to work, go to work, go to work, go to work, go to work on time.
Right.
We have to really delve in and reflect on these skills and help them understand why they're so important. We kind of refer to this as the knowing student. We need to create knowing students. And so the first thing about a knowing student is a student needs to know, what do they need to know? You know, so here we've outlined our six work ethic skills that we're really going to be focusing on. And then we need to tell them, why do you need to know it? And that comes in with the reflection piece. I mean, so often, especially since manufacturing and industry is a big deal in the upstate part of South Carolina, you know, you're not doing your job in isolation.
Right.
There's normally other people who are dependent on you to do your part of the job. And so we talk about how, you know, attendance can hold up production for the company, which can cost the company money, which in turn may cost them to go into overtime and have other employees stay late, sometimes through holidays, to catch up on their product. And we also talk about how when other people at work have to pick up your responsibilities because
you're slack.
That's right.
Let's just be frank.
When other people have to pick up your slack, you're not very well liked by your coworkers, which ends up kind of creating a tense environment at work, which in turn affects your ability to work well as a team.
Yeah, I think the aspect of a team in today's world, it's always been important, but it's important today, and particularly, like you're saying, the manufacturing. Everybody's job is interdependent on the other person's job.
That's correct.
You're not an island.
And so that's another thing. You know, the millennial generation, and again, I hate to generalize or stereotype, but I guess they've also been known as the me generation. Mm-hmm. So initially, their first instinct is just to think about how it affects them. And our job is to help them understand that there are rippling effects to when, you know, if you're not being professional in the workplace, even though you're a great, you know, all the skills and you have all the knowledge.
Well, you know, I think, you know, one of the things is back in the day, being a company person was a very important thing. And you were all in for the company because if the company did well, the company took care of you.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in some aspects, we've lost that.
We have. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, but that is an important aspect. If the company isn't making money, then there's no need to be talking about a raise or what we're going to do futuristically.
Exactly. And we do approach it that way. We approach that, you know, you've got to help the company meet their goals and their objectives just so there's opportunity and growth for the company, because if there's opportunity and growth for the company, then that means there's opportunity and growth for you as the employee. However, we also like to just say, you know, it's beneficial for you. It's not just beneficial for the company.
Sure.
It's beneficial for you because this is our job at Piedmont Tech is to prepare you for the workplace, to prepare you for employment for the future,
right?
Whatever goal you may have. And if the research is showing that work ethic skills, professionalism skills are really the foundation of success in the workplace, then we would be remiss to ignore those and not provide you with those skills. Because we also want you, no matter what you do, and it could be at a company now, and you can really help that company move forward with their plans, you know, in the area and with their product. And then maybe you can see other opportunities in the horizon at different companies or different places. It's only going to benefit both parties.
Sure, absolutely. So I got to ask you, Jennifer, what type of reaction do you get from this?
Well, initially, there's a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of feedback, pushback, I should say. Students at first, of course, they're busy. They have lives, they have responsibilities, jobs and family sometimes, and lots of classes to take. And, you know, they kind of see it, oh, no, here's one more thing that we're going to be asked to do. But when you start to explain to them the significance of it, I think they start to get on board a little bit, and they start to see, oh yeah, this is really for my benefit. This is really going to help me. And it's all about how they get that understanding, to make sure our students understand, you know, this is, we're doing our job. We want to make you prepared as you can be for the workforce. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Then let's hear South Carolina radio news. We are here with Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, you know, right here in the studio. And she is currently the department head of the humanities and co-chair of the Work Ethic Skills Committee right there at Piedmont Tech. This is, to me, a fascinating subject, since I have worked with people, young people, love working with young people, but sometimes they can drive you crazy trying to understand where they're coming from. So this sounds like a great program to me. When we come back, we'll be continuing this conversation. Hope you'll stay right with us. Let's hear a word, Andy. We'll be back. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, our one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're back here with Jennifer Lopez. She is the department head of the humanities and co-chair of the Work Ethic Skills. They call it WES committee out there at Piedmont Tech. You know, it does not surprise me that Piedmont Tech is working ahead of the curve on something so important, because they've always been working ahead of the curve. And I know Brooks out there, he is fix it, make it better, you know, he's that type of guy.
And do it yesterday.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
So it doesn't surprise me. You and I were just talking off the air, and I was talking about the fact of having sharp facets for 37 years, mm-hmm. and one of the ways that we used to teach sales to people who had no idea mm-hmm. was to role play. Mm-hmm. And I would play, or other people would play, all different types of customers. Mm-hmm. And the person that always did the best in jewelry sales, one, we have two types. One was the young person who didn't believe they wouldn't want to be helped, so why would this person want to be helped? Mm-hmm. And two, the person that didn't realize that you could look at clothes, but you can't look at jewelry under the glass. You got to take it out and talk about it. And those people that had that natural gift of gab and loved the product, mm-hmm. it transpired and came across to the customer.
Exactly. It really does. And I almost like to think of WES, when I tell my students and I work with faculty about implementing WES in their classes, the student is the product. They have to love themselves. They need to be able to go on and gab and gab and gab and gab and gab about themselves, which I'm obviously very good at. But when they're talking about promoting themselves as an employee and wanting to go out and get a new job or change careers or improve salary or whatever it may be, they're selling themselves. And that's what WES is helping them do. All about that. You know, when you display professional behavior and conduct, you're selling yourself. When you can communicate mm-hmm. what your skills and right. your passions and your experiences and your goals for life, you're selling yourself. You know, when you can contribute to group work, contribute both ways. Contribute by giving your perspective and your ideas and listening to those of others and taking them.
Oh, now you're talking about listening. Hello, that's the tough one out there.
That is a tough one.
That's tough for anybody. And they say, because basically we're always thinking about, well, you're talking about that. Ooh, let me jump in. I got a story that goes with that or competes with your story.
Exactly. I'm guilty as charged of that too. It is. It's hard. And all of this takes practice. And, you know, as we were talking, what you said about in the jewelry industry, role playing and things like that, it's practice. I don't think people really understand sometimes something that seems so intuitive, so common sense, actually is not all the time, and we do have to practice. You have to hone your skills. You have to hone your skills. And students, a good example is when we talk about attendance at the college. You know, it's really important that you attend class. It's really important that you attend class. Well, okay, why? I already know the material. Well, no, but there's more to the discussion. There's other things you can get from classroom discussion and discussing things with your peers and working with your peers and listening to other people ask questions. And not only that, attending class is practice for attending work, right? It all requires, just like listening requires practice. So
listening is probably, they say, one of the toughest things that there is to do, because if we really listen when somebody else is speaking, you'll be amazed how much we can learn.
Exactly.
And you can, if you're trying to negotiate something, you can learn how to negotiate from what that other person says.
Exactly. But then that goes back to what you and I were speaking about during the break, which is effective communication.
Right.
And that goes hand in hand with listening. Right. You've got to be able to effectively communicate your ideas so that the other person can listen and take from that and either build upon or negotiate or whatever it is.
Or look somebody in the eye when you're talking to them. Now, I think that's a big one. I think a lot of our young people just kind of think that it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. Or if it makes them uncomfortable, they just look away and they don't want to hear it.
Right. But it is. It's an important skill. It exudes confidence. It shows that you are confident, that you are
engaged
in the conversation and taking what the other person is saying seriously and listening. It shows confidence, and it shows that you're actually engaged in listening in the conversation. And these can all be practiced. Some skills that we do would be mock interviews. I've also been working with my speech instructor and teaching them how to do 2-minute elevator speeches. You know,
right.
If you got caught in an elevator for 2 minutes and you had to sell yourself,
How would you do it?
What would you say? You know, yeah. I don't know, like Mark Zuckerberg's in an elevator and you want to work for him at Facebook. How would you sell yourself in a 2-minute elevator ride? That's important.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
And you never know who you're going to meet, who could be your next employer or next somebody that you really want to get to know.
Exactly. Your next opportunity. And those are right around the corner, and you never know when it's going to happen. So these are skills that you should be using all the time, which is why I was also saying that WES for us is, our objective with this is a cultural change on campus as well.
Meaning what?
Meaning that we want everyone on campus to think about WES and have that in the forefront of their mind.
What you called it. Ethics skills. Why do you call it a work ethic skills? Why do you call it that?
We called it that because the soft skills, they didn't understand what soft skills meant.
Well, and since ethic is such a big topic here in the world right now, I guess it has a good ring to it, right?
It has a good ring to it. Plus, I have to admit, that was chosen by the committee and we liked it as an acronym.
Okay.
But the students, we want a change of culture. We want not just for the students. This isn't just for the students as well. It's also for our faculty and our staff and our administration, because students learn best when they have role models, mm-hmm. who are modeling these professional skills for them. And because everyone on campus is like a teacher of these skills, a role model of these skills. And we need to take advantage of when something happens, just a simple example would be an email. You know, when you write a student and you say, "Dear, you know, Jane Smith,"
right?
And then you close out your email with "Sincerely, Mrs. Lopez." You know, you're teaching some work ethic skills, some communication skills.
Oh my God, that's so formal. Are you sure we need to be doing it that way?
It is. And we talk about why it isn't so important. And then, you know, gently showing our students that, you know, you need to have salutations and you need to have closings to your
full emails. Sentences?
Full sentences.
English?
That's right.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Well, and it's important because sometimes emails don't communicate exactly what you need, or sometimes emails don't necessarily let me know who you are. I would love to be able to help you, but if you didn't sign off on your email...
Well, can't you just look at my email address and get it? I mean, why do I need to do that?
Well, sometimes
I put my telephone number and that kind of stuff on it. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Too much information for you, Jennifer, about me. That is the other thing that young people don't want. They don't want to share stuff about them. They're very standoffish on sharing there.
And they do. And that's a part of professional skills, too, of knowing how much to share, I think. That's,
well, there's the other end of it, too.
There's the other end of it, too. You know, there's always that, what is professionally, what can you professionally share and not? You need to share enough staff so that I can get back in contact with you and the person who you're trying to communicate with can address your situation or your issue or your need or answer your questions, whatever it may be. And that goes back to the communication. And we talked about this before. We've done some, my co-chair, Tony, who's in the welding department, we've done some presentations. And there's no doubt all forms of communication are valid. And they all have their time and purpose. But when we have, like today, the convergence of so many generations in the workforce. Mm-hmm. And at school, at Piedmont Tech, we have students who are fresh out of, some of them who are still in high school, and then right. some students who are coming back for their second career, you know, after they've already been very successful in
40,
their first.
40, 50, 60-year-olds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you have this such diversity in the workforce and at school, there has to be a point where we can come together and we can communicate effectively so that we all understand each other. It's very important. I had mentioned to you that the young people, the millennials, they get a bad rap. They shouldn't always get a bad rap because they're full of vitality. They're very creative. They're passionate. And they bring a global perspective. These young people have always been living in a global world. They've been able to contact anyone in the world anywhere at any time because of the internet.
And they know how to find them.
And they know how to find them.
There you go. Yeah.
So to bring that perspective and that creativity and that technological savviness into the conversation is so important, but it just has to be brought in a way that everybody can benefit from that. And that requires, again, time management and attendance and communication and teamwork, working with people who are different from you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. We are here with Jennifer Lopez. She is currently the department head of humanities and co-chair of this new thing, work ethic skills. Used to be called soft skills. Now it's work ethic. Hey, don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, WCRS. We're talking how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to be an important part of the team wherever you work. And I think that's another thing, Jennifer. I think whether you're working at ZF, whether you're working at McDonald's, you know, you see a team has to come together. If you go to McDonald's, a team is going to serve you because it's not just one person that does it. And I think that's one of the best training grounds for people working as a team. Now, they can defeat the system.
Yeah. Mutiny.
Yeah, that's right. Or just, you get it, I'm not getting it, this type of thing. But right. A team as aspect of something certainly makes production and makes it passes the day quickly.
It really does. It passes the day quickly because you do have that interaction with your coworkers, which I think is important and what is the enjoyable part of work. And then it's more efficient. You become more efficient in what you do. You produce a better product. And teamwork just helps build on that creativity and the innovation. So that's when you can start really saying things like, well, I think we could do this better, or this, we can make this a little bit, you know, we can improve our quality on this a little bit if we do that. And as a team, you can work together to work on those situations, those problems.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And anytime you're saving a company money, you are improving your odds of improving your pay.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. When companies can save money, then they can turn around and give bonuses or raises.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or it improves your ability to be promoted, to move up in the corporation.
Sure, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that is very interesting is a lot of our young people, they do want to work for big companies. Mm-hmm. They don't want to work for the small companies because they might have to do a lot of different things. They like the job that is more pigeonholed, shall we say.
Right. Which I find interesting because I do find that the younger generation, the young people, are very creative and that they would might probably really enjoy from being able to do a little bit of everything or to dabble in different aspects of a career or a profession or a business.
Particularly, there's a lot of young people, they say, that want to own their own businesses someday.
Which is going to require a lot of different hats.
Yes, exactly.
You are going to be your PR person, your advertising, you're going to be your salesperson, your business manager, your accountant. So you're going to have to wear a lot of different hats if you want to own your own company or open your own business.
And particularly those in the, from Piedmont Tech's perspective, the welding, the HVAC, all these are definitely fields where a lot of people go automotive, go in and open their own shop.
They really do. And lately, research has shown, first of all, if, working in different aspects of a business, working in different areas of a business or wearing different hats helps you grow. It helps you develop as an individual. It helps you...
I must be about 10 feet tall.
Exactly. Me too. It helps you look at problems from different perspectives. And again, it helps with that creativity. And most importantly, I think it helps you from getting stagnant, bored. Boredom is something we want to avoid at work because you're going to be working for a long time once you get into the workforce. So you want to keep growing. You want to keep expanding. And developing so you don't get to that point where you're just stuck or you're bored. I also read, I don't know how pertinent this research is now in this current economy, but millennials will probably have an average of 3 to 4 jobs during their lifetime.
Different types of jobs. Used to be you went to work for that company and you worked for 40 years and then you retired.
Exactly.
Not now.
And that doesn't happen nowadays. So they will have a lot of mobility and moving around in their profession in their careers. And growing up with a father who worked for a company for 47 years, I see some cons to that, but on the other hand, I see some benefits. I think, again, we've got that whole issue of being stagnant. And when you have an opportunity to change careers 3 or 4 times during your lifetime, it's pretty exciting.
Well, you bring a whole different perspective to the job. If you've been selling apples and now you're selling oranges, you're still selling, but it's a whole different
product. It's a whole different product. So like you said, exactly. You're bringing a new perspective and some new ideas and creativity to something maybe you're probably already very familiar with.
Now, in today's world with interviewing, I know a lot of people think, well, I turned my interview in... That's it. I should be just what's on the paper.
But it's unfortunately it's not. It's not all that. And that's kind of what we mentioned at the beginning of this whole program is that, that 65 to 70% of your success in the workplace is based on your employability skills. And a lot of that can be determined in an interview or a follow-up interview. And it's... You're the face of a company. You're the face of a company, and the company wants to make sure that who they hire represents them well in the community. And every business, every organization has a culture. And they want to make sure that you're a good fit for that culture. And you can't always get that from a paper resume. And that's not necessarily bad for the candidate, the employee who is applying for the job. Because if an organization's culture doesn't fit, it's not a good fit for you,
You're going to be miserable.
That's not a good place anyway. Consider the fact that that employer did you a huge favor. You weren't going to be happy in that organization anyway. It's all about fit. People have personalities. Organizations have personalities. Organizations have images that they want to project to the community. And it's a fit. It's a match. And so matches in terms of personalities and things like that cannot be gleaned from a paper resume.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of, I'm sure, part of Piedmont Tech's reason for doing this is we have a lot of companies that are looking at coming into South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been talk that South Carolinians are not prepared for these jobs that are coming here, or employers are looking at it and they don't see the workforce that they need.
That's correct. They don't. And we have a lot of opportunity here because companies are coming in, and we do have this plethora of jobs available now. And when they say that we don't have that workforce, a lot of that workforce, when we don't have a workforce that's ready, a ready workforce to go into these jobs like yesterday, it's some of it is the technical skills, right? Mm-hmm. That training that we need to get these people so that they can walk onto the floor and know how to operate the machinery or do what they
need to do. The technical part.
The technical part. But the majority, too, is the soft skills, the employability skills. Really, we've heard from a lot of different, and in this particular role that I've had as co-chair of the West Committee, we've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of different people in the industry in the upstate of South Carolina, and they can say to me they can train people
for the technical part.
They can. They're like, if you just get me the person.
And one of the big things, you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, is showing up for work.
Is showing up for work. If you can get me the person who shows up to work on time every day, I can make sure they'll get the technical skills.
That's right.
That's right.
So that's why this is so important. Now, my next question is, eventually, will you be teaching this as a separate course, or will it always be integrated with the different programs?
We, at Piedmont Tech, we had looked at that as a possibility, but then we decided to go ahead and just implement it into all the courses in the programs. Eventually, it's just going to become a part of our curriculum, mm-hmm. In all programs. And that's because if we want to change a culture and change a mindset and really just have a culture at Piedmont Tech where everyone is cognizant of work ethic skills, it can't just be one class and you're done.
Right.
You did your 3 hours, your first semester at Piedmont Tech, yay, you're done, no more soft skills. It doesn't work that way. In fact, research has already shown that it's not a one and done. Students need, like that word we said before, practice, and they need consistent practice over and over and over again, and they need practice in different situations. So practicing it maybe when you're working with me with the Hispanic community and using your professional skills can be quite different from using it in mechatronics when you're on the floor at ZF versus when you're at the hospital working in a clinical. So having the ability to transfer these employability skills, these work ethic skills, and apply them in different areas and in different places, mm-hmm. At different times is a that's an important part, because we want the students to be able to take these skills with them with whatever they do in their first job, in their second job, in their third job, you know, as they go through their fourth career. They need to have them with them and be able to use them at all times.
So does somebody become get an award for completing these?
We do have badges.
Badges, like Girl Scout and Boy Scout badges?
Sort of, but ours are digital.
Okay.
Digital badges. And right now, since we have rolled WES out into some of our industrial programs and our nursing and health science programs, these are very prescriptive programs where students sort of move through as cohorts. So it's easy to map WES through their curriculum, in which each semester students will be focusing on really in depth on one particular work ethic skill. Of course, they'll always be holistically discussing and talking about all six of our work ethic skills, but each semester they have an opportunity to earn a badge in that particular criteria, that particular skill. And all of our faculty in these programs, all of them unanimously determined that first semester, all students should focus on a Attendance. So normally in the first year, the first semester of a program, students will have the opportunity to learn and discuss attendance, reflect on it, practice it, talk about the importance of it. And we have a rubric. And based on the rubric, they can get two scores. They get a midterm score, and then they get an end-of-semester score. At the midterm score, instructors can give the student a score, and then if they're not, we have three categories. We have an exceeds, meets, and a needs improvement. If a student at midterm is within the needs improvement category of our rubric, then instructors have the opportunity to conference with that student and sort of develop a plan for improvement, right? How they're going to improve their attendance skills.
Show up for class.
That's right. Exactly. But, you know, when we talk about this, a lot of it also has to do with like internal locus of control and malleable self theories. Students sometimes need to know a lot of the time when they show up coming to class, and coming to class on time, which is all practice for showing up for work and showing up for work on time, is within their, they have control over that. A lot of students don't necessarily see that. Sometimes it's like, well, the car broke down, or there was an accident, or
the dog ate my homework,
or whatever it is that tripped me up and I wasn't able to get to class.
I wasn't responsible.
It was something else that made me late or made me miss class. And we're also trying to teach them, but you have much more control over your universe than that. You can make plan B and plan C for these things. You can, and if there is, emergencies happen. We understand that things do really happen. Your plan C should be communicate.
There you go.
You really, if you're not going to arrive on time or make it to class, same thing goes with work, you need to notify your supervisor or your professor as soon as possible. Because once you communicate that and what's going on, we're all on the same page and
we can understand.
We can understand and work with you. You know what I mean? So if the student is in the needs improvement category, then they can work on a plan and talk about this like internal locus of control. You've got more control over your universe than that. If the dog ate your homework, then get another sheet of paper and do it again, or I don't know.
Make a copy. To the dog.
Take
and
a picture before you. I don't know. There's lots of things we can always do as plan B. But at the end of the term, if they're within a meets or an exceeds score for attendance, then they earn the badge. At the end of the program, so if you're going through nursing, at the end of your nursing program, when you graduate, you'll have a capstone project, and you will be evaluated by the faculty of the nursing program holistically on all six skills, and you will be given, you can, if you're within a meets or an exceeds, you will earn a program badge. So we have a West Nursing Exceeds badge and a West Nursing Meets badge.
Yeah. And you said those would be digital, those would be like online?
They're actually going to be stored in an e-portfolio. E-portfolios are kind of the new thing.
Okay.
Yeah, for the younger generation, then they love them. I'm sort of getting excited about them as well. But they're very handy because they work with online employee, like professional social media like LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of places also take applications online.
Sure.
And so when you're filling out your application online, these e-portfolios have a link that you can share, a URL mm-hmm. that you can share in your online application, and the employer can go and click on that link, and anything can be stored in your e-portfolio. You can have your resume, letters of recommendation, any types of certification you may have earned while you're at Piedmont Technical College, but then it will also have your badges. So your West badges will be there to see. So employers can see if you've mastered the badge on attendance, you've mastered it in time management, and then, of course, the ultimate goal is to get the program badge.
And of course, this will be, as you say, changing the culture in South Carolina of employability when employers come to South Carolina and say, you don't have a workforce. You can now say, yes, we do.
Yes, that's right. We can say we do, and we can show you that they've mastered these skills, and then our students can go out and succeed in the workplace and be very successful, which is what we want for all of our students.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Jennifer, you are a very positive and upbeat person to be heading this up, co-chairing this. I know you're excited about it, and I know you're excited about the additions, and we really appreciate you coming out to talk to us today.
Well, I thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So, if you'd like more information about any of this, what should they do?
They can contact me at Piedmont Technical College. My email address is on the website, and so is my phone number. And they can actually just call Piedmont Tech, our front desk. They can route you to me, Jennifer Lopez, get online, and just in our search box at Piedmont Tech on our website, type in Wes, and you'll find a plethora of information of what we've been doing with Wes at the college.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming out today.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Hey, I'll be there here in the morning, so don't forget to tune in. And thanks so much for listening. And Jennifer, thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.